वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 10 विल बी reading text 26 to 38. I think 38 is on the board. So I'll just do the translation in English from the 26 to 37 and then we'll all recite 38. So far we heard in the last few days that how the demons are getting angry because they didn't get the amrita, the nectar. And so therefore they decide to fight with the demigods. And until yesterday you heard how the army of the demons was getting ready and becoming aggressive. And today you'll hear how the demigods, they prepare themselves and how they get together and they start fighting with the demons. Surrounding Lord Indra, King of Heaven, were the demigods seated on various types of vehicles and decorated with flags and weapons. Present among them were Vayu, Agni, Varuna, and other rulers of various planets along with their associates. Text 27. The demigods and the demons came before each other and reproached one another with words piercing to the heart. Words piercing to the heart. What is the sharpest weapon that we all carry with us? Tongue. Right? Where the words come from. Okay? That's how it all starts. Then they drew near and began fighting face to face in pairs. So at least see that there is a fair fight, one to one. O King, Maharaj Bali fought with Indra, Kartikeya with Tarka and Varuna, with Hathi and Mitra with Prahati. So see, the kings are fighting the kings directly and people of equal strength or equal level are fighting. It's kind of difficult to conceive how they had different kind of carriers, including rats and swans and all different kind of birds who were carriers during the fight. There wasn't just the rath cart. Like nowadays it's the drones and aeroplanes. But in that time, the place and circumstances, there were different kind of animals empowered to be in those positions, to fly around, carry their warriors and fight. Yamraj fought the Kalanav, Vishwakarma with Mayadhanav. Vishwakarma and Mayadhanav, they're both very expert. They don't need planning permission, right? They don't need to go to MBA. They can manifest just like this. Like Sabri Rishi wanted 50 palaces, so with his mystic powers he was able to manifest 50 palaces. So these are the personalities. They are such powerful architects and they have so much siddhis with which they can immediately manifest a palace. But at the same time, they are equipped with knowledge to fight. With knowledge to fight. Right? So we have to think later on, what is the knowledge that we have to be equipped so that we can use this sharp instrument to fight in the correct manner, in the correct mode. The demigod Aparajita fought with Namuchi and the two Ashwini Kumaras, Ashwini Kumara brothers fought with Vishwarup. The sun god fought with 100 sons of Maharaj Bali. Sun god is very, very powerful, so he has to have that kind of battalion to fight with. Headed by Bana, and the moon god fought with Rahu. The demigods controlling the air fought with Puloma and Sumba, and Nisumba fought the supreme powerful material energy, Durga Devi, who is called Badrakali. 32-34. O Maharaj Parikshit, suppressors of enemy, Lord Shiva fought with Jamba. Jamba was a very, very powerful demon, so Lord Shiva had to fight with him. And Vibha also fought with Mahishasur. Mahishasur was also a very powerful demon. She was actually killed later on by Durga Devi. Ilvala, along with his brother Svitapa, fought with the sons of Lord Brahma. Durmarsa fought with Cupid. The demon Utkal with Matra, ka demigoddess. Brihaspati with Shukracharya. So even the gurus, because these gurus were very powerful gurus, they were trained how to train their, disciples to fight. In time, place and circumstances, they had the art to teach everything, not just to survive and live a simple rihasa life, but under all circumstances, they were trained how to fight. So they had to know how to fight to train others. So Shukracharya and Brihaspati were both great fighters, and they had the power to bring the dead back to life also. And Sainachar, Satan, with Narakasura, the Maruts fought Nivat Kavacha, the Vasus fought with Kalyakya demons, the Vishwadeva demigods fought with Poloma demons, and the Rudras fought with Krodhavas demons, who were victims of anger. All these demigods and demons assembled on the battlefield with a fighting spirit and attacked one another with great strength. All of them desiring victory, they fought in pace, hitting one another severely with sharpened arrows, swords and lances. They severed one another's heads using weapons like busundis, chakras, clubs, ritsis, patisas, saktis, ulmukas, prasas, prasavadas, nistrimasa, lances, parigas, mudgaras, and bindipalas. You have no idea what these weapons are, right? Just imagine what these weapons must be like. That Prabhupada sometimes explains that Arjuna's one arrow was more powerful than all the nuclear weapons put together. So one arrow alone, was so much more powerful than put all the nuclear weapons together. So we can understand, at least from that, to somewhat we can read between lines or speculate what these weapons must be like, that with these weapons they were able to fight in such a ferocious way, whereby just chopping each other's heads off, legs off, and you see what explains the next, what happens to the blood, you'll be surprised. The elephants, horses, chariots, charioteers, infantry soldiers, and various kinds of carriers, along with their riders, was slashed to pieces. Arms, thighs, necks, and legs of the soldiers were severed, and their flags, bows, armor, and ornaments were torn apart. So we can all repeat after me, text 38. Tesam padaghat rathanga churanita ayodhana dulba uthitastada renu disakham dhyumanaim cha chadyan nyavartatastrik sutibi pariplutan Tesam, of all the people engaged on the battlefield, Padaghat, because of beating on the ground by the legs of the demons and demigods, Rathanga, and by the wheels of the chariots, Chunitat, which was made into pieces of dust, Ayodhyana, from the battlefield, Ulbana, very forceful, Uthita, rising, Tada, at that time, Renu, the dust particles, disha, all directions, come, outer space, dhyumanim, up to the sun, cha, also, chajyan, covering all of space, up to that, nyavartat, dropped, floating in the air, asrik, of blood, srutibi, by particles, prariplutat, because of being widely sprinkled. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Because of the impact on the ground of the legs of the demons and demigods and the wheels of the chariots, particles of dust flew violently into the sky and made a dust cloud that covered all directions of outer space as far as the sun. But when the particles of dust were followed by drops of blood being sprinkled all over space, the dust cloud could no longer float in the sky. Purport. The cloud of the dust covered by the entire horizon, but when drops of blood sprayed up as far as the sun, the dust cloud could no longer float into the sky. A point to be observed here is that although the blood is stated to have reached the sun, it is not said to have reached the moon. Apparently, therefore, as stated elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, the sun, not the moon, is the planet nearest to the earth. We have already discussed this point in many places. The sun is first, then the moon, then Mars, Jupiter, and so on. The sun is supposed to be 93 million miles above the surface of the earth. And from the Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that the moon is 1,600,000 miles above the sun. Therefore, the distance between the earth and the moon would be about 95 million miles. So if a space capsule were traveling at the speed of 18,000 miles per hour, how could it reach the moon in 4 days? At the speed, going to the moon would take at least 7 months. Prabhupada is so mathematically expert, eh? That a space capsule on the moon excursion has reached the moon in 4 days is therefore impossible. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharya Nirvishesh Sunyavadi Prashyata Desatarini Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Everyone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everyone can repeat, please. Because of the impact on the ground of the legs of the demons and the demigods and the wheels of the chariots, particles of dust flew violently into the sky and made a dust cloud that covered all directions of outer space as far as the sun. But when the particles of dust were followed by drops of blood being sprinkled all over space, the dust cloud could no longer float in the sky. So, Srila Prabhupada very simply and intelligently explains how the claim of the Americans and Russians that they were going to the outer space and to the moon in 4 days, 7 days, it was all a hoax. You know? And Americans, they have accepted that. You know, during the prime ministership of Obama, it came out very clear that they were using some mountain area in Texas and all the place. They were using this area where they were landing so-called spaceship, and they were, you know, flying the spaceships from. And for 4 days, they were putting everyone in illusion. And then they would say, for a few months, the satellite is flying in the outer space, and then they make all these diagrams and, you know, illusive drama to fool the entire world, you know. The Prabhupada explains this very, very intelligently, that if anyone does this mathematics, they can understand. Even the scientists accept that the sun is 93 million miles away, and that the moon is further than the sun, then therefore we can understand that if the moon is further than the sun, then you have to start travel a longer distance than the 93 million miles. Okay? You know, first they were saying the sun is so many million miles, and then later on the scientific research advanced, they call it, now we're advanced in science, so then they get closer to 93 million miles. And then finally they accept it is 93 million miles, you know. And this Bhagavad Puran is amal, is anmol ratna, you know. In the beginning of Bhagavatam, it is explained that nigama kalpo taror galitam sukha mukhad amrita drava samyutam. Yeah? That Srimad Bhagavatam is the mature fruit of the entire desire trees of the, you know, the Vedic literatures. So when you churn the entire, it's like you're churning the mountain to get the nectar finally. When you put all the Vedic literatures together and you churn it and you get the cream out of it, you know. It's just like you read Bhagavad Gita the first time. And what happens? You get a gist of what the soul is all about, right? If you stay focused. But when you read it again, then you start understanding the purpose of the soul, you know. And then as you read it again, then you get closer to it. What is the soul and what is the super soul and what are the relativities and how, you know, we are transmigrating and how everything's happening. So depending on the level of our intelligence, we start realizing. And if you're smart enough, then we find somebody who's already in knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, you know, right? Like Arjuna was smart. He asked Krishna, what is the purpose of this fight? Basically asking, what is the purpose of this life? All this life, I performed so much austerities and now I'm standing here on the battlefield. What is the purpose? Now I have to kill all these guys I've known for years, you know. Right? So from this we can understand that this material universe, not just the world, you know, because we are related to the world, we can only understand the global, you know, the globe we are sitting on, because we can't see beyond. Even sitting here, we can't see America, we can't see Australia, we can't see Canada, but because we have some science and some knowledge and we know that we can fly into these continents, so we accept that, yes, it's possible, that it is there. But beyond that, we can only speculate to some extent, you know. So, same thing with the Bhagavad Gita and the basic fundamental science of the soul. We have to have somebody who can guide us, somebody who we can get to know from. Otherwise, it will be very difficult to understand. You know? We can speculate to some extent. We can use our intelligence to some extent, you know. But unless we take some guidance, you know, we will be like the scientists saying we reach the moon in 4 months' time or 4 days' time, whatever, you know, when we even haven't lifted off. You know? So don't be in that mode. Don't fall into that mode. Rather, go to Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and understand who was Sukhdev Goswami. What was so special about Sukhdev Goswami that when Maharaj Parikshit was cursed, that he came looking for Sukhdev Goswami and he gave his entire life. What was the entire life consisting of? 7 days, right? Every moment, every breath he gave to Sukhdev Goswami. And he did Sravanam. Right? He asked some questions, but he was listening very attentively. Because he said that if you listen to the Bhagavatam attentively, then you can go back home, back to Godhead. You don't have to take any more baths. So he did that Sravanam very intensively. You know, the demigods are hankering also. When Parikshit Maharaj was cursed, and Sukhdev Goswami is about to recite the Bhagavatam, the demigods also wanted to be part of it. They were saying to Sukhdev Goswami that we want this nectar also. In return for listening to this nectar, we are willing to give the nectar that we have to Parikshit Maharaj so that he can continue, you know, bring the Chakravarti Raja. But do you think that Parikshit Maharaj was going to trade for that? No? Would you trade? You see the two different kind of nectars, you know. We talk about the nectar that comes out from the mountain, but the real nectar is described is this. This is the real nectar. You know? That nectar, once the glass is finished, it's finished. It only helps a few people, or one soul, or one greedy soul. Depends on who gets the glass first, right? But this nectar is unlimited. Prabhupada poured his heart into this with love. Prabhupada gave this with so much love. He gave every little moment of his life. He was hardly sleeping. He was hardly sleeping. Just like it is said that Lord Jagannath, he doesn't have eyelashes, you know that? Have you ever seen Lord Jagannath with eyelashes? No, right? You know why? Because he never sleeps. Krishna never sleeps. And he only takes a break for 2 hours. When Lord Jagannath takes break for 2 hours, that's the only time the curtains are closed. And there's otherwise for 22 hours you can go to Jagannath temple and take darshan. No? So you know what Lord Jagannath does in those 2 hours? He gives darshan to the demigods. He gives darshan to whom? So who's more fortunate, the humans or the demigods? Right? Humans. Who said that? Simple mathematics, right? Simple formula. But that's the reality. This planet is empowered to help us to go back home, back to Godhead, without having to go to these heavenly planets where you have all these mystical weapons and mystical planets and mystical this and mystical that. Everything is full of illusion. So much illusion is there that they get carried away. And there is so much lust and greed. Why do demigods want to be King Indra? Why did Vishwamitra want to be king, you know, in the place of King Indra? Why did Bali Maharaj perform 99 sacrifices? You know, and he was almost on the 100th one. He had completed the 100th one, then Indra would have lost his kingdom. It's all to do with lust. Lust is not only sexual relationship. Lust is the greed, the hunger for becoming powerful. Everybody wants to be powerful so that I can control. Right? The very reason, the first reason we are here is because we want to be powerful. We think we can be independent of Krishna and we can become powerful like Krishna and can do whatever we like. Right? And then when we land here, we realize it's not so easy, it's not so nice, it's not so much fun, right? And how many ages or sages will come and pour their love like Srila Prabhupada did into the books and give everything to us. You know? Our acharyas, they were so magnanimous. They simplified even the Bhagavatam so that we can understand the Bhagavatam. You know? So many nice examples given to us. So that we can come off the my ego platform. What is the root cause? The lust and the greed, what does it lead to? You know, in our daily life, okay, in the demigods and demons, they were fighting for power. But what about us? Where are we on daily basis? What are we doing? We are also fighting. We are also on a battlefield. It's my department, right? It's my guru, right? It's my section. We end up with so many mice. My this. You're not supposed to come into this department. You're not supposed to be doing that. You know. And that my, so many mice, if you add up, whatever your mice are, it equals to a my big ego. Like you see the flexes on the road, or you see in America all these flashing boards, you know. Buy this cake, buy this candy, buy this jacket, you know. It's flashing. So what's happening is that big flash. This big flesh is within our minds, is flashing like anything. My ego, this is mine, that's mine. Nobody should come over and trespass this, you know. How do we change that? What is it that we have to do to change that? We have to become, like we say, dhiras tatrana moyati, right? Yeah? What's that verse? Dehinosmin yatha dehe, kumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara praptis, dhiras tatrana moyati. So it is a very nice verse. But it's not only meant for, you know, quoting it or reading it. It means you understand that life is moving fast. It's coming at you fast. Every moment life is coming at you fast, and every moment is gone is lost moment. It's not going to come back to you, right? You may have $1,000,000, but you cannot buy even a moment back. Therefore, become dhira, you know. Understand what dhira satrana moyati means. Is Prabhupada says that we have to learn to control our mind. And the two basic elements is lust and greed. If you can somehow or another conquer, somehow or another means through the Vedic scriptures, through the association of devotees, through the spiritual master's mercy, if you learn to conquer the lust and the greed, then you will be able to control the mind. And when you are able to control the mind and become sober, then you will understand it's my privilege. Right? My privilege to be in Krishna Balaram temple. My privilege to be the head of department out of the 44 departments. It's my privilege to have a guru. It's my privilege to have so many siksha disciples. You know? It's my privilege to be able to eat prasadam here. It's my privilege to be able to sweep the floor here. No? When we come to that understanding, and then when we start practicing with that love and devotion, that love that Srila Prabhupada, you know, poured out, just like a mother does when a little baby is born, the mother goes out of her way to do everything, clean, bath, feed, put the baby to sleep, you know. That bonding is so intense, and Maya covers the mother's mind so cleverly that all the mother does is pours out love to the child. No? So same way, your child, our child is our mind. Our child is our mind. Okay? We all have a child. And we also have a sharp instrument inside our mouth. Okay? That sharp instrument can be utilized to hurt ourselves. When we use bad words, when we come out with, you know, things to hurt other people, you know, like the demons and the demigods, initially they started using foul words and, you know, abusing each other, whatever, and then they started fighting. That's what happens. If we do not control the mind, then we cannot control our tongue, and when we cannot control our tongue, the words that will come out will ultimately rebound and hurt us. Because when you hurt somebody, then somebody is not just going to tolerate it, they will also want to hurt you. There's not going to be many Prabhupadas. It's not we have Prabhupada around every corner and says, it's okay, sit down, let me explain to you. You know, this is a moment of compassion. Here's Lord Chaitanya, he gives you mercy, and then you immediately become transformed. You know, right? We're not empowered like that. We can be if we want to. Do we really want to be empowered, you know? We can be. No? There's so many ways we can do. You know, some people can sing very nicely. Some people can preach very nicely. Some people who may not sing and preach, but they can distribute very nice books very nicely. You know, one time I was in Mayapur, and the person who distributed the most number of books was asked to come at the front after Mangala Aarti. He was asked, Prabhu, can you give a few words of wisdom? How you distributed so many books? And he said, simply, 100% faith in Krishna. He said, he would carry sets of Srimad Bhagavatam, one set on here and one set on this shoulder. And he would approach people and say, please sir, take this encyclopedia of your life. You know? And people would take the entire Bhagavatam set from him. And he's not in India, he's in Europe. He's taking, please sir, take this encyclopedia of life. We were taught when you go with Bhagavad Gita and you distribute in Bhagavad Gita, tell them, this book is all about you. Right? It is about you, right? You are the soul, right? It is about you. And then they say, how? And you open up and explain whatever verse is your favorite verse which connects you to the soul and the super soul. And actually it helps the people, you know. Because even if you read a few words from here, remember, these are words directly spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna himself has spoken Bhagavad Gita. So when you read Bhagavad Gita, you are talking to Krishna directly. Krishna is speaking to you. Krishna, his name, his form, his book, his activities are none different from Krishna.
we have to have that Shraddha. And Shraddha is only there when we can understand it's my privilege to carry Krishna in my hands. It's my privilege to give Krishna to others. Not that this is my Bhagavad Gita and I'm going to give some Bhagavad Gita to somebody and I'm going to take some money and say I collected so much money. That is false ego. Principle, yes. But spiritually, understand. Krishna is in your hands. He's so kind. He's coming in your hands. He said, please come, take me. Please distribute me to everyone. No? There's so many suffering souls out there. So just like Srila Prabhupada did, we have to try and walk in footsteps. We cannot be Prabhupada, but we can understand that Srila Prabhupada worked so hard at the age of 70 plus. How many of you are willing to go to America without any money in your pocket, without flying on the airplane, without knowing anyone in America, and we arrange a cargo ship for you to go? How many of you are ready to go jump right now in one of the cargo ships and say, yes, I'll do it? How many people here are initiated? That you understand that your grandfather or great-grandfather is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. This is the order of your great-grandfather. Right? Sorry? Oh, I should ask in the Brahmachari Ashram also. But this is the point. It is a direct order for us to distribute this knowledge throughout the world. So the demons will stop fighting and stop creating havoc, at least on this planet. We don't need these so-called bombs to fall in different countries all the time and have innocent people killed all the time. No, children, women, mothers, fathers, families, they're dying just because some crazy demon out there is so powerful that he can say, okay, now go and drop so many bombs in this country. You know? We don't need that. The more we preach, the better the world will get. You know? This is a great privilege. This is the only lifetime you have this privilege for. Otherwise, there is no guarantee. If you come back, there is no guarantee. I will conclude by giving one example. Srila Prabhupada says that one of his disciples asked him, no, he mentioned in conversation, Prabhupada, for you and for distributing books, I'll come again and again to this world. You know, I have no problem, I can come. As long as I can just come and distribute books. You know what Prabhupada said? Don't come back. Don't come back. This is not a gentleman's word. And I don't want to come back to get you. Understand? Srila Prabhupada is very serious. Don't come back. It's not worth coming back. There's no guarantee. Prepare. Prepare to take the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya also very mercifully gave us only 8 slokas. He said, okay, condense everything. Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, everything. Just 8 slokas. You know? Start with Chetodarpan Majanam, cleanse your heart. You know? And then you follow these basic rules, and then you will be free. You know? How much simpler can it get? From 18,000 slokas to 700 slokas to 8 slokas. How much more do you want it condensed? Right. So, and just conclude by what Lord Chaitanya in Adi Lila, you know, right at the beginning, saying that Anarpita Charim Chirat Karunaya Avatari na kalau samarpayatam unatojvala rasam svabhaktim sriyam hari purata sundaras dhyuti kadamba sandipita sada ridaya kandare spurato va suchi nandana. Translation: may the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachidevi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He has appeared in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation, see what he says, which no incarnation has ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes by example, he teaches, he shows. You know?
You know. Otherwise, do you think it's easy for us to just read 10th canto and say, I understand the conjugal law? Can we? Can anyone bet yourself? Don't bet me or Krishna, but bet yourself. No? The acharyas came. Srila Prabhupada was really a Karunamayi avatar, you know. He was a real merciful avatar. Although we say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful avatar. He is most merciful avatar of the Lord, but even more merciful than him is Srila Prabhupada. You know, Saktivesh avatar is more merciful because he came and gave us Lord Chaitanya. And he gave us the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Without him, we could not get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So we must take this mercy that is flowing causelessly towards us and be grateful to Srila Prabhupada. You know? Be grateful to the devotees who are distributing books. If we are so busy and we have so many activities here still, I remember in the 1780s when I joined, everyone had to go out and distribute books. Everyone, regardless if you are a head pujari, temple president, accountant, anyone. Everyone must go out on Harinam once a week. Everyone must go out 2 or 4 hours a day to distribute books. Because when you distribute books, you experience the real battlefield out there. You know, you have to explain to people who are completely fallen, people who are completely degraded, people who are suffering. You get that opportunity and privilege to help those suffering souls. No? Prabhupada went, at his age, he went to America. No? And we all know the history of the challenges he went through. You know, heart attacks, a cargo boat, not knowing anyone, not knowing where he's going to stay. But he did all this to give us this facility here so that we can expand. We can preach. It's like the other day Rukmini Mataji was giving class and she mentioned that this devotee, when he turned around, Prabhupada was standing behind him. He said, Prabhupada, what can I do for you? You know? And Prabhupada said, you go to the places where I have not been. So by this time Prabhupada had been around the globe so many times. So he asked Prabhupada, so you've been all over the place, so where do I go? You know what Prabhupada said? Go into the future. Go into the future. That means we all have to take this message into the future such that it becomes a growth cultural message. It's growth culture message so that generation after generation it will be, you know, given to masses of people. You know, remember every moment so many living beings are coming into this world. Every moment the world is changing its constitution. You know, the culture is changing. But if we continue preaching the same message with love and devotion, just like Srila Prabhupada poured his love into this book and giving all the blessings to us, if we develop the same mentality, then this culture will grow. This Krishna consciousness will grow. Thank you very much. We have time for one question. And then, please, everyone is invited today to join us in Nandgaon or Barsana later on, right? Right now they are in Radhakund. The devotees who distributed books, so you are welcome to join us also. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.